Well, I want to welcome all of those online too. I know you can't be a part of the physical part of us praying, but we're praying over here for different needs in our lives, and we're praying for those that were in the storm that had received damage, and we're praying for the neighbors. We're praying for upcoming events that we have to face this week. That's what it's about, bringing these requests to the Lord. Like I said, the Lord hears. He's listening. It's not like he's a bazillion miles away and he's like, oh, what was that they said? You know, no, it's not like that at all. He loves us way too much for that. it's going to be a word of encouragement today. And I was telling our pastor, I'm going to give a word of encouragement. So it'll be Psalm 37 is where we're going to go. And so I hope that it is to all of you a word of encouragement. You know, when the Lord was out and about doing what he does best, and that's ministering to people, there was an incident near the end of his ministry. Near the end of his ministry, he ran into, well, he was always running into the scribes, the Pharisees, and the elders, and the Jewish people. They were always questioning him. They were always, you know, coming and confronting him. And in Luke chapter 20, there's a time when they confronted him, and it was involving questioning his authority. They questioned him on taxes, as you remember. They questioned him on the resurrection. And they just, like, you know, attacked our Lord with this questioning. But Jesus skillfully used the word of God, specifically in this particular account, the Psalms, to confront them, now to bring a question to them. And in Luke 20, 42, and I'll read it to you, it says, Jesus said, now David himself said in the book of Psalms, and we'll stop right there, and he gets into some other things, but notice this, Jesus was validating the book of Psalms as a book in which David recorded words, David wrote them, right, but that they were scripture. Now, this is understood even more clearly in the same event that happened in Mark, where Jesus goes on, and the writer of Mark recorded it, like this, and it says in Mark 12:36, in that same account, it says, for David himself said by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus is teaching us here. If we look at this kind of, you know, closely, he's actually teaching us here that the book of Psalms, specifically that particular psalm, which was Psalm 110, verse 1. But anyway, the Psalms are God's word, spoken word. And I think that's it's by the Holy Spirit. So let's dive into just going through here, Psalm 37, and we're going to take a look at that. But let me ask God's wonderful blessing over his word. Father, thank you for your word. Without it, we have no rudder. We have no light to guide us. And Lord, your word is a light unto our path. So we would ask a blessing now as we dive into your word a little bit in this psalm, and that you would continue to help us to grow and feed off of your word. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. A psalm of David is Psalm 37, a psalm of David. It says in verse 1, let's read verse 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And when I see that word fret, and he tells you here, he says, do not fret. And then he says here also, he says, nor be envious. Now, this is David speaking. David's commander, right? Army, he's a warrior. And from a military standpoint, when a commander says something, it's not optional. It's not like, you know, if the commander says to do something, it's like, well, take it or leave it. And that's not the way it works. So here, it's a command. So we're reading this, and he says, Richard, do not fret. And I'm like, okay. And that word fret there is like a starter. It's called a fire starter. If you ever have a campfire and you want to, or your fireplace and you want to start it, and you buy this little fire starter, yeah, you break it off, you put it in there, and you light it. It burns really slow, doesn't it? It's really slow, and it burns the other stuff, but it's really slow. That's what this word fret means. It has that connotation to cause to burn, to start to burn. So when you look at this again, do not fret because of evildoers. Whatever the evildoers are doing, don't let it get to you. Don't let it start to, you know, to fester up and start burning. And then it says envious, right? It says here, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. So as the looking at the workers of iniquity, and some of them could look pretty good, right? They have all of this money. They have a lot of prosperity. They have a lot of success. So whatever you can add to their little accomplishments there. But that word envious, this word envious here is, remember, it's not a suggestion. All right, this word envious is a very strong emotion for wanting something that the workers of iniquity have. So he's saying, don't be envious of, don't have that strong desire of what these workers of iniquity have. Now look at verse 2. It says, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. And I can get that because I have a lot of grass sometimes, and I know how to grass, we can cut it down. But then I'm looking and see, okay, well, this is a spiritual application here that David, you know, the Holy Spirit is bringing to us. And I'm looking here at this agricultural thing, and I'm like, well, I get the first part of it, the cutting of the grass. In the New American Standard, it says, for they will wither quickly like the grass. Okay, I can see that and apply that to the unsaved, the evildoers, and the workers of iniquity. However, I looked at the second part, and I was like, oh, a green herb. You know, you figured the green herb would grow, but it withers. What's going on? So I looked it up in the agricultural world, and I don't know. This is just maybe me, the way I look at things. And if you don't see it making sense, don't even worry about it. But this is what I looked at. I said to myself, what things can cause a green herb to wither? The green herb, the unrighteous, right? These workers of iniquity. Okay, all right. So I looked it up, and it said here that the lack of essential resources, such as water, sunlight, and nutrients, will cause it not, you know, cause it to wither. And I was like, well, yeah, I can see the unsaved. They don't have that. In the spiritual realm, we have that. We got the water. We got the sunlight. We got the nutrients all from God. And we're growing. They don't have that. And then it also said environmental stresses will cause it to wither, which is the heat, the cold, and the drought. And I says, yeah, I can see them not being protected from all of these spiritual things, sort of like, you know, in the spiritual realm of growth. But we're protected from these things, the heat, the cold, the drought. And then the third thing was the disease or pest infestations, that they're subject to those things where God protects us from them. And I was like, yeah, now I could see it. But the end result of just verse 2 and verse 1 and 2 is the end of the evildoers and workers of iniquity are not good. Look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Wow, there are 7 things to do in those verses. Number 1, trust in. That word trust, find this, is amazing. Trust, rely on, feel safe in, be confident in. Then it says to be good. Now, we got plenty of examples from the Word of God on how to do good, right? We know that, and it's all in the Scripture. And even in our hearts that have been regenerated, we're in love with the Lord, through us comes different ways that we can be good and learn even how to be even better in certain things too. So number one, trust. Number two, do good. All right, I got it. Then it says dwell in the land. Now remember, here David is speaking, and if you would ask David, well, what land is he talking about? Well, he would say, well, the promised land that Abraham was promised by God that we have, right? Now that word dwell is a word of permanence. Permanently dwell or stay where God has placed you. That's what he's saying here, David is saying here. And I like to think of that with us, where God places us in life, that we need to stay there. Then there's the fourth one is feed on his faithfulness. Isn't that interesting where it says that right there in the end of verse 3, it says, and feed on his faithfulness. Now, let me ask you a question. Has God been faithful to you? Okay, let's see. Maybe you're thinking, well, what I'm going through now, maybe God hasn't been faithful, or you don't see God being faithful. Okay, I got that. Let's push that aside for a minute, and let's think about what you know you've experienced where God has been faithful. Think that, just keep that thought there, all right? So knowing that God is faithful, we grow and become stronger in his faithfulness as we feed on his faithfulness. Let me read that again. Knowing that God is faithful, okay, I got that. We grow, like feeding, right? You're growing, right? We grow and become stronger in his faithfulness as we feed on his faithfulness. So keep feeding on his faithfulness. And then he goes on and he says, delight yourself also in the Lord. I love that. But the word delight there is interesting. Let me paint a picture of this word, kind of, and with words. And I'm not much of an artist, so you wouldn't want to see that. But let me word paint a picture of what this word is trying to get across to us, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Here it is. Take a step back, become soft-hearted, find pleasure in the Lord. So take a step back for a minute, humble yourself, become soft-hearted, and find pleasure in the Lord. That's kind of what that word means there when you break it down. But anyway, we won't get into all of that. But when you break it down, that is what it's trying to get across. He says a promise after that, and he shall give you, oh man, the desire. Duh, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Somebody, does anybody have desires of their heart going on? And you're like, Lord, okay. All right. And that's a beautiful promise, but let's not unbalance ourselves and run off with that and start, you know, leaning on the side with that. Scripture has to be a balance, right? So a good scripture to remember is 1 John 5:14, and you put that together here and it'll keep you balanced. All right. The first one is, he shall give you the desires of your heart. I got it. As I'm running out, you know, to the Corvette shop, I'm running out to the $1 million block where the houses, I'm running out there, give it to my heart. But I run into 1 John 5:14 to get me back to reality. And it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay? So if we ask anything according to his will, look at it this way. God is interested in, according to the word, not me, God is interested in doing and giving things to us that are according to his will. And if you know what these things are, I mean, and it's not like you get this bright light come down, this is my will, this is what you pray for, what you ask for. If that happens, great, grab a hold of it. But how about something simple like, praying for my sister or praying for my brother or your spouse or your family, like our dear sister Barbara was praying for her family, and different things, things that you know God wants to do, like your neighbors. You know, you love your neighbors. How hard is to love your neighbors? Come on, everyone can love your neighbors, right? It's too easy, right? No, sometimes it's difficult. You know, there you are, and you got your beautiful lawn that you just manicured, and you paid all that money for lawn care to come and take care of your lawn. It's looking so good. And the Sunday morning before church, you're out there looking at your lawn going, ah, finally. And the neighbor's dog comes over and digs a hole and in it. And you're looking at this, what are you, get my gun, they'll teach that dog, you know, but no, you take a step back, and you take the dog back to the neighbor and say, keep your dog on your side, please, thank you very much, and off you go, right? Lord, help me to love my neighbor. So there are things that that happen, but according to God's will, He is interested in actually giving us things that are according to His will. So we pray for things, and we know that it's according to His will. Number six, the sixth thing there is commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Okay. Whose way? Oh, wait a minute. Commit your way to the Lord. So give it to the Lord. Give what to the Lord? Give Him your way. All right, I'm committing my way to the Lord. Give it to the Lord and let Him carry it. What is He carrying? He's carrying my way. Okay, because I'm giving it to Him. All right, and let Him bless. Bless what? Bless your way. Okay, so when He says commit your way to the Lord, that's it. Number seven, it says trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. Trust also in Him and He will bring it to pass. Listen to this. God is interested in bringing to pass the plans that we bring to Him. Whoa. Let me say that again. God is interested in bringing to pass, because He said it, right? The plans that we bring to Him. So don't be afraid to bring to God the plans that you have. Don't be afraid to bring it to Him, okay? Now, verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Now, let's get this out of the way as far as righteousness. Now, the righteousness that we have is not based off of what I have done to gain it. I have not done good works. I have not kept a law. I have not checked the box in order to turn to God in my relationship with Him and say, I am right with you because of what I've done. No, no. And actually, Philippians 3:9 says this, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay, so we underline that in our lives. We say, okay, I know where my righteousness comes from. All right, but let's look at verse 6 again, because this is something from the point of view of a judicial standing or a legal standing. Look at verse 6 again. He says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You know, God is well able and very capable of bringing about justice for you when you have been wronged in one way or another. And it doesn't matter. It could be in a legal, it could be in a family environment, it could be where you've been defamed, it could be someone has destroyed your reputation, it could be someone that is talking about you, lies about you, even the enemy, you know, that comes and starts bringing up your past. And, oh, you're this. Okay, all of that. In that legal world, that judicial world, okay, God says this. He says, He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. God has your back, and God knows how to show the truth about you. So, as Christ followers, right, what do we do when we're living in a lawless, God-hating, God-rejecting world that gets us on edge. And I mean, can we say it like we understand it? Like, I'm gonna get you on my last nerve, you know, and just bother me insanely. And here I am, a Christ follower, and the things that I'm looking in the news, I'm looking in the world, I'm looking in my family, I'm looking in my community. I mean, it's just building up in me, and I'm trying. And what do we do? Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret, same words before, because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. There we go again. Do not fret. It only causes harm. What do I do? There are six things to do here. Number one, rest in the Lord. You know what that word rest signifies? Be silent, be still, and be waiting in. Notice this is in the Lord. Okay? If you look at that, it says rest in the Lord. So be silent, be still, and be waiting in the Lord while we are waiting on the Lord to come and take us home. On in. Okay, see if I can understand that. Did you know that when you became a Christian and you said to the Lord, yes, and that love just overflowed your life to the point that it drew you in and you said, oh, Lord, there's nothing more I want to do than just live for you and serve you. I mean, what more can I do? Where else am I going to go in this world? You're the only one that loves me. So yes, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Yes, the sins of my life, Lord, there's so many, but I lay them at your feet. And just, did you know that with that day that you did that, you entered in Christ? You're in him. So be still and rest in the place he's placed you, which is in the Lord. Don't be fooled and tricked by the enemy that says you're not in the Lord. You got to do something to get in the Lord. You got to feel better about it. Stop sinning for at least 3 weeks of the thing that's bugging you the most, and then you can get, no, I'm already in the Lord. So be still and rest in the Lord. Then number two, wait patiently for the Lord. Oh, that is so easy to do, isn't it? No. Wait patiently for the Lord. But the Lord hasn't showed up. I know. But wait patiently for the Lord. I've been waiting for so long. I know. But wait patiently for the Lord. I'm trying to encourage you guys. You know, oh, no. I don't know how much longer I can wait. I know, but wait on the Lord. Hang in there. He's on his way for whatever it is you're going through. Please hang in there. Wait on the Lord. Okay. Then he goes on and says again, do not fret. He goes again. He says, look at that. Do not fret. Remember, that's that little slow burning because you're looking at whatever the evildoers are doing. Don't let them get it. Don't let them get to you. Just don't fret. Then he says, number four is cease from anger. Now, we won't get too much into that, but it says cease from anger. However, weaken your emotional grip on anger. Weaken that emotional grip that we so easily want to grab a hold of in anger. Then he says, number five, forsake wrath. When you start to feel that emotion heating up towards anger and that poison of rage and wrath, cease. Cease it. Forsake wrath. Don't go there. And then the last thing, number six there for that verse is do not fret. Again, do not fret. But he goes on and he says something very interesting there. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Good advice. You don't want any harm to come to you. One translation says that it causes you to do evil, meaning that you lean towards, you know, what they're doing, and you're going to do that. No, let's not go either one of those ways of understanding that particular phrasing of do not fret. It only causes harm. Just don't fret. Don't let that little ember burn. Now, 9:11, verse 9 through 11, we're going to look at a contrast. Well, this whole psalm is through a lot of different contrasts, as you've seen, but let's take a little bit more. Look at verse 9. It says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Now, we Christ followers, according to some of this here, scriptural reading, we have a really bright future. I kind of really like that. And look at verse 9. It says that they shall, we that wait on the Lord, are going to inherit the earth. That's true. Well, you don't have it now. I know. But he says, I'm gonna. Well, when are you gonna inherit the earth? So, well, I do know this. I do know that the next event that is gonna happen is, well, there's a lot of events, but the event's gonna have is a rapture. It says, then it's gonna take me home. And then here on earth is going to start a great tribulation period of about 7 years. Not about, we will be for 7 years. And then at the end of the 7 years, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we return with him, will return back to this earth physically, feet touching the ground. The Lord Jesus will come, and he's going to set up a millennial, a 1,000-year reign on this earth with Satan locked up for 1,000 years. Man, that earth is going to be beautiful. You read through Isaiah and the different beautiful things. Man, that's part of our inheritance. But also in Revelations 21, it talks about, after that 1,000 years, Satan is released out. He starts a mess. They all get thrown into the lake of fire. Judgment happens. The great white throne judgment. That happens. Everything is done away with as far as that mess of sin, what it has caused. And all of a sudden, the kingdom reign begins, meaning this eternal kingdom reign begins with Jesus on the throne, and we have a new heaven and a new earth, and we inherit that as well. So getting back to verse 9, it says, they shall inherit the earth. I can't wait. We got a great future. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall be, guess what? A little while. You know what that's referencing? Time. Their time is numbered. When you turn on the news or whatever and you see these evildoers and wickers, right? These evil, wicked people, right? And you see them, guess what, guys? Their time is running out. Okay, he says, in yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place. Forget it. You're not even going to see them. But the meek shall again. The meek shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say the weak. It says the meek. That's the lowly, the gentle, the needy, the humble, those relying on the Lord. Yeah. Inherit the earth. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, what happens when things get personal, though? What happens when the wicked come against us? No, seriously, when they really get personal, when things are like pointed directly at you. Okay. 12 through 15. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Not maybe broken, not perhaps be broken, but they will be broken. So what do? We let the Lord laugh at him. That's what it says in verse 13. The Lord laughs at him. So, Lord, you see what they're doing to me? Okay, you know how I feel about this. This is really personal. But what do you think the Lord's doing? He says their days are numbered. He says, and the Lord laughs at him. And the wicked, all that they plot to do, will not come to fruition because the Lord is on our side, taking very good care of us. Verse 16 to 19, some great promises there. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Wait a minute, I know some wicked guys out there got a whole lot. I really do. I'm looking in the news. I can look at, you know, wow. These guys got to go. There is no question when they go shopping, right? If you got to ask how much it is, you forget it. They just, come on, they have it all. But a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. So if you could put a qualitative, you know, number on what I have and what the wicked have, mine is of more value. Huh, very interesting. For the arms of the wicked, verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Yeah, I like that. Look at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Oh, wait a minute. That's me. My days are number two. He knows my days? Yeah, he does. Wait a minute. How old am I? Don't say it. But I mean, really, he knows my days. He knows how many days. That's what he's saying here. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Guys, guess what? Nothing can happen to you until that day comes. He knows what days that is. But I want to show you something, how from what we know with the New Testament about theology and what we know about eternal life and what we know from the New Testament about what happens to our physical and, you know, absent from the body, present to the Lord. We know these things, but the Old Testament also speaks the same thing, and it's right here. Let me show you. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Okay, that's me and my physical, when I'm going to die. And their inheritance shall be forever. Now, there's no way that you can have an inheritance that's forever if you're going to die and cease to be. See what I mean? So God right here is speaking about eternity. Okay? He is right here. And their inheritance shall be forever. Jesus said it like this in John 11, 25 and 26. But he said it like this. Let me paraphrase it. He says, though a man die, yet shall he live. See what I mean? That's the same thing here. It's the same thing. Okay. I get too much into that because I love it. All right. So now he goes on. And so those are great promises. But look at verse 20. And the wicked have a future as well. They do. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall what? Vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. Interesting. The wicked borrows and does not repay. Keep that in mind. But the righteous shows mercy and gives. Did you ever wonder why you do that? You ever wonder why you do it? And sometimes you question yourself. I don't know why. But you know what? That's why. Look at verse 22. For those blessed by him shall what? Again, what is he trying to get across to us? Our future is eternal. Our future is amazing. Yes, I know you're going through it now and the storms came in, but I know that the Lord is like saying here over and over again. He says, for those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, and those cursed by him shall be cut off. They have a future, don't they? Wow. Okay. God delights in his kids. Look at verse 23 down to 26. He does. He delights in us. Well, I don't feel that God delights in me. Okay, I got it. I've been there, and I'm sure I'm going to be there again. But let's look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Remember our way that we committed to the Lord, our way that we committed to him, we gave to him. He's going to bless it, everything. Here it is again, right? Here is his way again. He says here, the steps of a good man are established and ordered by the Lord, but I don't think that my steps are ordered to the Lord. I don't think this is the right decision to make. I don't think. All right, did you commit it to the Lord? Did you pray about it? Did you give it to the Lord? Yeah. Well, you got to make a decision one way or another. You just can't sit here. I know. Well, you got to do something. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go this way. Order of the Lord. Established by the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. All right. What else are you going to do? Come on. What else? What other decision you got to do? You got to trust him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They're established by the Lord. And he delights in his way. Don't you think God loves you and loves your ways that you've committed to him? No, he's not angry. He's with you. Why do you think things work out so many times? Wow, that must have been the Lord. Well, yeah. He loves you. All right. It says, though he fall... I love this. This is how God deals with his kids, right? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Well, why? Well, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Oh, wait a minute. I did fall down. It hurt my knee in life and things. But what happened? Well, I'm not cast down. But you don't know what I've went through. You don't know the mess I've gotten myself into. You have no clue. There's no way out of this. This is devastating. This is life-changing. This is traumatic. This is horrific. But guess what? You ain't going to be cast down. You belong to God. When nobody likes me, I don't care if nobody likes you. God loves you. I like you. But you don't understand. I know. You don't even understand, because guess what? You're going to still be standing for God. Hang in there. Hang in there. You're not going to be cast down, for the Lord upholds you. Verse 25. What a benefit this is. Look at verse 25. Now this is David's older. You've seen a lot. We've read the story of David, right? And Samuel and different. We've seen so much in everything. David's been through so much. He says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his descendants begging bread. You got to be kidding me, David. No, I haven't. Wow, I love that promise. I'm going to grab a hold of that one. He is ever, one translation says all the day. He is all the day merciful and lends. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. That's how we are. That's where we are in God. We're always lending. We're always trying to bless people. And we struggle with it sometimes, but yet we are. As we walk with the Lord. Amazing what God does for us. Look at verse 27. We become what we feed off of. I like this. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. How long? How long is forever? Forever is forever. Is that like forever? Yes, it's forever. You mean forever is like, how many times I got to tell you? Do I spell it for you? Forever means forever. He says, but the descendants, right? But the descendants of the wicked, look at this, shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land. Here we go again. And dwell in it 400 years. No, forever. He just continues throughout this psalm. Eternal, eternal, forever. Oh, we got a great future. I love it. Look at verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Woo. I love speaking to some of you guys. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God. Wow. Where is it? In his head? In his pocket? In his cell phone? In his computer? In his database? The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide or slip. Come on now. None of them. I feel like I'm slipping that. Don't even worry about it. Trust in the Lord and just commit your way to him. But look what it says. Woo, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Oh, yes, they do. The Lord will not leave him in his hand. Yes, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. There it is again. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you. To do what? To inherit the land. You know, you can exalt yourself. We do it sometimes, right? You know, unconsciously. Other people can exalt you, and for whatever reason. Sometimes good or bad, you know, like promotions and things like that, recognitions, and you know, it's great, you know, because we give God the glory. So a lot of things, they can exalt you. But he shall exalt you not just to show what great things you've done, whatever, for whatever reason, but God will exalt you and also give you something for it. To inherit the land. We're going to rule and reign with him, you know. Right? As most of us. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him. It's amazing. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked, verse 35, in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet, he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. One translation says that I passed by. I couldn't find him. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Then he goes on. I love this part. Coming to a close. Mark the blameless man. So I'm looking at, okay, I got, there he is. The blameless man. Mark him. You know what that means? Mark means? It means to hedge about like with thorns, to guard, to protect the blameless man. It's my responsibility. Mark the blameless man. What else? Keep an eye on him. Observe the upright. Why? For the future of that man is peace. Man, the more that you do that, the more you're going to become like him. The more that you follow, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? So the more that we keep an eye on one another and just encourage one another, and as we just mark and guard one another through prayer, let's do that. Verse 38, he says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked, like I said, is not good, right? Shall be cut off. Verse 39, and we'll finish 40, says, but the salvation of the righteous is from who? The Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Are you in trouble? And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. I'm going to read that again. And the Lord shall help them, not maybe help them, shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. Wow. No better place to be in life than to be with the Lord. And if you've not made a commitment speaking to those online, I know those here, but if you've never made a commitment to be on that side, the good side, with the Lord, this is your day to make that decision. Right? Right, family? This is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, because I will tell you, you may not have tomorrow. Your time is numbered. And if your number is called and you've not made that decision for Jesus Christ, guess where you will go? You will go before the judge and pay for every single one of your sins yourself, apart from God, for eternity. It's not a place you want to go. So you make a decision for the one that loves you more than anything, that has drawn you into himself today, for you to say, yeah, I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do. I need to let go of all of my mess, lay it before his feet, and say, forgive me, come into my life. Oh, God, please. That's what you need to do. So I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to close in prayer. We'll have our dear sister Angie come for the last song. But before we do, I'm going to pray. Father, Father, your eyes are on us. Your ears are open. We want to bring people to you. If someone online right now, they don't know you, and they're wanting to make that commitment, I pray that, Lord, you cause them right now just to let it go. Just let them, they can do it. They can just say, Lord Jesus, I know the what you did on the cross, the blood that was shed is to wash my sins. Yes, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to say, yes, Lord. So would you please, Lord? And also, Lord, for all of us that have taken this word of encouragement, let us just feast off of it all week and take it with us and help others around us. We want to say thank you for taking the time to give us the word of God. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name.